The Ogden Arts Festival, where we grow art. Hello and welcome to the Ogden Arts Festival podcast. I'm your host, Eric Holmes, and on this episode, we have my wife, Kelsey Thompson. Kelsey is an acquisitions and managing editor at Jollyfish Press, a small independent press from Provo. She's also the managing editor of Weber the Contemporary West, Weber State University's professional literary journal. And as well, she does some marketing and PR work for Ogden City and her own creative writing on the side. This episode will be the highlights of our conversation about the creative process, about the editing and acquisition process for books, as well as creativity in general. It was very enlightening for me, and I hope it will be for you. Here we go. What was it? You are a creative...
We talked about this. A creative consultant, I think.
A creative consultant, right? Now, as an editor and as a document designer. How do you feel that that differs from the things that you create on your own?
I would say it mostly differs in audience. The things I create on my own are generally first and foremost for myself. They are to get the pictures and words and scenarios that play like a scene from Grey's Anatomy out of my head. When I am creating something for...
We need to chase the cats out of the room. Get out of here! This is why you don't cat and podcast, everyone.
This is exactly why you cat and podcast. I would disagree. What was I saying? Oh, audience. Yeah, it all comes down to audience. That's the number one thing I would say you need to consider when you're doing any kind of art, whether it's a really pretty flyer or the next great American novel.
What does writing and editing do for you? Why did you choose writing and editing to be your occupation?
I love stories. I always have loved stories, and I've always had stories inside of me. I think my very first story I ever wrote was like a Pokemon Sailor Moon crossover, and I was like 8 years old. I've always had those characters or like moments with these characters together playing in my head for as long as I can remember. And so that's why I write, because it's a catharsis. It kind of gives me a venue to process things in my life without actively processing them, if that makes sense. There's that separation with the characters you're writing for, where you can put them into tough situations and help them find their way out of it. And that in itself can kind of help you process things in your own life and find a release in your own life. And then as far as the editing side of things, I love stories, and I want to help somebody take their story, their good story, and make it great.
So what is art for you? What utilitarian purpose does art have for you?
I think it is kind of a release for me, and it does help me process things, as I said before, from a distance. There have been times in creative writing classes when I've been prompted to write about personal things in my life that were difficult for me, and I think writing so close to it, it just wasn't as good. I think when you're writing about yourself and your own experiences, you have a tendency to fear the pure emotion involved. You have a tendency to not want to dig as deep and open up all those wounds again. Whereas when you're writing about somebody else and their struggles, it kind of gives you that distance to both process it through them in a kind of much healthier way, and probably a much more satisfying way from an artistic standpoint, because you feel like the product you're creating is better. But you can do that without opening up old wounds, without digging too deep into yourself.
What inspires you to write? Is it those situations that you need to evaluate, or is it just a, intrinsic feeling of needing to create?
It's definitely like an intrinsic need to write. And like I set these goals for myself, with the writing that I do, and just to keep me like writing pretty regularly. And I found that when I kind of fall out of my writing habits, I'm just not quite as happy. I'm not quite as mellow. I'm a little bit more uptight, a little bit more likely to get depressed, that kind of thing. Like, it's very useful to me emotionally. And then this is going to sound really, well, this might sound arrogant. I don't know. I really enjoy reading my own writing, too. Like, I enjoy the whole process. I enjoy writing it. Well, sometimes I don't enjoy writing it. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting it on the page because it has to get on the page, because if there's nothing on the page, you can't fix it.
How do you create when there's just not that juice in you?
Okay. Well, first off, like, going off of inspiration or whatever is bullshit, because if you only ever created when you were super inspired, you would never finish anything. So there's a discipline to it, certainly. I've heard Neil Gaiman say that writer's block is bullshit. Plumbers don't call in with plumber's block. CEOs don't call in with business block, you know? So I think that's a mindful, something to be mindful about when you're creating anything. But what I do is I typically have an outline for whatever scene or whatever chapter I'm working on. Usually I do it a scene at a time. So let's just say the scene. And the best work I do is when I'm writing it, I'm writing at the surface level in which everything is working. The dialogue works, the movement of the scene works, like the choreography works, and it reads fluidly, but it also has emotional depth and layers to it. That's really hard to come by. That I usually get to that point after maybe two or three edits. So that first scene, if the juices aren't flowing, it's just about getting the words on the page. It's like, okay, I know what's going to happen. So-and-so is going to talk to so-and-so about this. They're going to come to this, like they're going to start at this point, and by the end of the scene, they're going to be at this point. And let's just get it on the page, because like I said before, you can't fix it if you haven't even made it yet. Thing that nobody ever tells you about when they're like, oh yeah, you need to be a great musician, you need to be a great writer, and I won't speak to musicians because that's just not something I know nearly as much about. But something that people never tell you about when they're like, oh yeah, writer's block, or oh yeah, editing your story, or oh yeah, writing your story, is that sometimes you don't even know what the story is about when you begin writing it, or a scene. Sometimes you don't even know, like you need to go through that process. You need to write that really shitty first draft. And then you need to try to edit it. And then it needs to somehow get shittier and worse. And then you just try
wait,
to...
Wait. Why does it need to get worse?
Let me finish. And then, you know, you need to go through that process to realize, oh my God, the scene is not about what I think it's supposed to be about. It's really about this. This other thing is what needs to happen. It makes more sense. It's more true to the characters. You never would have gotten there, or maybe you wouldn't have gotten there as quickly if you hadn't gone through those steps and like learning, you know, like I guess those misfires, I guess.
Okay. So, okay, just I'm gonna. Well, I don't have to play dumb. I think I am dumb in this case. how do you know what a character is supposed to do? Like how can a creation of your own mind, how can it act differently than you tell it to at first?
Because they're people too. And if you write them complexly enough, which every writer should strive for, they're going to make mistakes and they're going to do things that are unexpected. I'd say things probably go according to outline in any of my given stories 40% of the time. And then something else to consider is you have that one character in the scene, but it's interacting with other characters, and you have to be true to what that character is going to do, but you also have to be true to what all the other characters in the scene are going to do, what they're going to say, what they're going to, how they're going to react, what their own baggage is that they're bringing to the table, and the backstory that they're bringing to the scene. All of those things come into play, and all of those things will ultimately affect the outcome of the scene. And that's why I say you start with a shitty first draft, and then you try to fix it using the paradigm you've created yourself, and you box yourself in and somehow make it shittier because you haven't been through that learning process yet to realize that, oh, character D needs to go through this reaction because of something else that another character is saying.
Is writing really a get to know the people you created process in some ways?
Yeah, I would say it definitely is. It certainly is for the writer as they're writing the book, and then it certainly is for the audience as they read the book or the story or whatever it is.
Hmm. Okay, I'm learning. And that you're my mind's a little blown. An imaginary person that came out of my mind, and then imagining that person complexly and reading that person, what situations would do to them, it just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot to keep in your brain at one time.
Okay. So you talked about putting words on a page, not having plumber's block or writer's block.
Business block.
Or business block.
Imagine if Steve Jobs had business block.
It's true. I just realized mine would be HR block. And so, maybe I can have some promotional considerations.
There you go. Or you owe them money for saying that on this
podcast. Oh, yeah. Maybe they've trademarked it and I owe money now. And so what inspires you, and at those times where you don't feel like creating, what helps you to create? What techniques, what skills do you use?
I'd say habit building is a big one. Almost every single day of the week, I have write a scene on my to-do list for the day. I don't write every day of the week. Sometimes I don't even write every week. But having it there and having that reminder, there's that motivation like, oh, I'm going to check this off my list. And it's also, it's kind of like, why do we eat vegetables? Why do we exercise? Why do we, I don't know, go to work in the morning, that kind of thing. Sometimes it doesn't always sound fun, but you know your life is better for it.
So you mean the creative process is a lot like being an adult?
Being responsible about the creative process is a lot like being an adult.
Okay.
I was in a workshop with, I think he's a novelist. His name is Brett Anthony Johnston. Anyway, he teaches creative writing at Harvard. And I sat in on this workshop with him, and I'm expecting to like be awed and wowed by all of his like mystical creative writing, magical wisdom.
Because it comes from a magical fountain of
creativity, right? There's so much like mysticism wrapped into this creative process. Anyway, what he said over and over again, like if it was a drinking game, we all would have been shit-faced all 3 days of that workshop the whole time. Was log the hours. You get up, you log the hours. You put the work in. And it was both relieving and supremely disappointing, because it does bring it down to the everyman's level of like, oh yeah, I just have to show up.
I think what we say to ourselves in order to avoid putting in the effort is, that person's just more naturally talented mm-hmm. than I am.
I'm not good at it. I can't do it. That kind of thing.
And, you know, I think there definitely is some natural talent, because mm-hmm. I've seen people who have worked extremely hard but still haven't matched the works of those who don't work as hard, or at least don't seem to work as hard.
Right.
But I think that is a great lie we tell ourselves, is that, oh, we're not... You know, I guess I'm just not good at this.
Yeah, and that if you're not good at it, you can't learn to be better at it, and that disqualifies you from the activity.
Exactly. Got logging the hours. So what inspires you then? What do you draw from as far as, I mean, you've talked about stories in your head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it just really all stories in your head and it just kind of naturally comes to you, or is there some... well, you go to for inspiration?
I really enjoy writing playlists. They can be, just because of the way my brain is calibrated with those stories in my head, when I hear a song, I generally try to adapt it to a scene, kind of, again, going back to the Grey's Anatomy thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a scene from a TV show playing in my head with dramatic music in the background, and there's stuff going, you know, that's just how that works for me. So music is helpful in that regard, and very purposeful, I would say. Other things that have helped in the past is just reading a good book. If I just come across like a really good freaking book, it stays with you. Mm-hmm. And I think you naturally pull from the things that you like. I'm not saying like plagiarism or copying, but you are inspired by the way somebody pulls out a plot twist or by somebody's character and the things that surprise you about them. And you want to bring that into your own work.
A big thanks to Kelsey for joining me on this episode of the Ogden Arts Festival podcast. Make sure to show some love to the things that she's doing. You can subscribe to Weber the Contemporary West at weber.edu/weberjournal. You can check out the books coming out from Jollyfish Press at jollyfishpress.com. A couple books that come highly rated by Kelsey are Consider and Jerkbait. Consider being a young adult sci-fi novel, and Jerkbait being a LGBT novel about a gay hockey player. You can give Kelsey a follow on Twitter at Kelsey Thompson. That is K-E-L-S-Y Thompson. And if you want to be updated on the Ogden Arts Festival podcast, you can follow me at @Oaf_Eric on Twitter and at @OafEric on Instagram. If you want to let me know some artists that you'd like to feature on the show, I'd be happy to take your suggestions. If there are certain topics that you'd like me to discuss, please hit me up. I'd be happy to get some more ideas about the podcast. And of course, follow the Ogden Arts Festival on Facebook. You can be updated on all the artists and performers that are getting booked for the festival. It is going to be great this year. It is going to be June 11th and 12th at the Ogden Amphitheater. Make sure that you be there. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Ogden Arts Festival podcast, and please give it a 5-star review and subscribe. We'd greatly appreciate it.